And it's interesting how God works in some ways. And I was thinking about, you know, all the things you can talk about, all the things I got in my back pocket. I have files at my office, and I couldn't get to my files at the office. So I thought, what am I going to talk about? I always talk about discipleship. And I was on a panel yesterday at a church and talked about discipleship. I could talk about that, just filling some time. And I didn't really want to do that. Then I was looking at the deity of Christ in Second Ephesians, or Ephesians 2, and I thought, that is really good to think about Christ and his deity. And he didn't lose it when he came here on earth. And I thought, that would be great to talk about. And then I got thinking, what I really, really desire is, because when I'm meeting with all the teenagers I meet with, they have a different world to look at than many of us today. And it looks a lot different than we were kids, some of us older, and they have to grow up in a different world with a lot of different circumstances, but there's a lot of similarities as well. So I was looking at this piece in Psalms, because there's got to be an answer to all this. And as Jim mentioned, there's this morning, this is, I think, pertinent to the time, this piece here, and it was pertinent for the time then. This is going to be more like a Bible study, because my preparation time is right now. Okay? But I think it's good, and we can't open God's Word and then not be good. Right? Amen? Yeah, all right. So, we're looking at Psalms 2, on my glasses here, and I was trying to look at this as today, and it's talking about the teens that I meet with. Where is the hope? What's going on? What are we looking at? And this looks a lot like today in the end times, even, of where we're heading. And in Psalms, it starts this way. And I kind of look at this, at the beginning of this, as kind of the raging of the nations, is what I put a topic on this, these first three verses. It says, why are the nations in an uproar, and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed. And as we're looking at the scripture this morning, I was looking at, why are the nations in an uproar? Why is everything in our world today so crazy? What's it all about? Why are all those wars taking place that Jim talked about? What's going on? And there was wars in the past, but today it just seems like a lot of wars going on. A lot of, and like you said, so many worldwide that we know about today, where we have so much more information to see and understand. And God wants us to be prepared to envision and look at the coming times. We don't know the day or time when he's going to return, but he says be aware of the times. And this seems to be something that we look at today. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising vain things? And Paula, I'm going to ask you something. She could look at me like, close my eyes. Well, I look at the word vain. Well, I mean, I need some definitions of some people. Because I'm looking at this word today as I look at it and I go, vain. What is vain? What is the definition of vain? I'm going to pick you this first. This. Exactly. And that's what I was looking at too, because all the nations, all these things, all these countries and worlds that people are doing that are against, really against God, they're in vain. There's nothing for that. There's nothing profitable of that. So, and the people are devising a vain thing. They're doing that today. We see that today in all parts of the world. And then, in verse 2, my note here, the kings and rulers against the Lord and against the anointed, though they do not even know that they are doing this. They don't even know that they're doing this. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers and take counsel together, and against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, and so they seem to tend not to even know what they're doing when they're making these plans. It has no good. there's nothing good to look at or understand about what's going on here based on what's happening with ISIS, that it's all in vain. What's going on in different parts of the world, in North Korea and Europe nations and all this terrorism is all in vain. It has no great value or purpose. And these nations seem to be taking this on for no great purpose. They view the good and wise ways of God as fetters, and it mentions that. Fetters was shackles. Lori helped me with that word this morning. Shackles apart and cast away the cords from us. You know, so they view these the good and wise ways of God as fetters and bonds to be cast aside, but they devise a vain thing. So they're throwing away everything, casting away, and they're doing everything in vain. And that seems like the way things are heading, or the trend is for in the book here as we look through David. Now, I'm going to stop at this point just for comments from my Bibleologist out there. That's all of you that study your Bible. As you're looking at the scripture, I want to know kind of an idea of what you see today, or where we can look at, and even in David's time, what there might be there that you can make some observations about. I'm just throwing that out there for a little bit. Yes, sir. I see when I go to the schools, and see you, you could probably, well, at least the high school level, I see a lot of teachers that come up with teaching of things, and they get their curriculums and stuff, and they teach information, but a lot of it doesn't have as much value as far as God's point of view, especially at the collegiate level. I think there's more looser reins to go out and teach things that would be not parallel to what God would teach. And so we look at this with these people coming with these different ideas, and why do they teach these things? It's in vain. They're bringing up things, they're trying to be creative to avoid God, I think, in a lot of ways. And I think that's what that's about. Well, verses 4 through 6, he who sits in the heavens laughs. I'm going to start with that one. He who sits in the heavens laughs. That's God, right? He? I can't imagine God saying, these people are doing all this in vain, and they're just doing this stuff randomly, and I can just see God going, you know, like this kind of laugh. What are they thinking? And that's what I think this laugh is in this particular thing here. God is laughing at him, but he proceeds from that. I think that's really God's response, but he turns it right away from laughter to fury. And if we go on, the Lord scoffs at them. Next step is scoffs. The first thing was he laughed, then all of a sudden he turns to scoffs at them. Now, I don't know what scoffing would mean to you. Who's got a good definition for scoffing in here? Yes, ma'am. Is it? Yeah. I saw that during a password game the other night, and there was somebody scoffing. Yeah. That's true. It's kind of in between. It's kind of a transition, it seems to be. Scoffed at them. Then he will, and it says, then he will speak to them in his anger. So it all of a sudden goes to anger. And so he's this laugh, this scoff, this anger seems to be three kind of processes that God is doing. Then he says, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to speak to you now. And he starts to speak, and God answers this rebellion and by installing a king. And he goes in, then he will speak to them in anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, that's God, I have installed my king, who is Jesus, upon Zion, my holy mountain. So God has responded to all the stuff that's happening in vain. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed them in king. Now, this terrify them, how does that happen? How does this terrifying come, and when does that come? I haven't studied on this too much, but I was looking at this and going, when I'm terrified of something, I'm fearful, I'm scared of it. I don't understand what's going on, but there is a fear because God is doing this, and this king he is going to put here on this holy mountain is Jesus Christ. So I was looking at that as we were going through the scripture, and then it goes into verses 7 through 9. There's a retaliation of the Son. This is Jesus himself. The decree indicates God's plan from eternity, not an old or an ad hoc response to the present rebellion, but this is what it is. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord, he said to me, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. So the Father, he has said to me, in this case is Jesus, you are my Son. Okay, he's proclaiming that. Today I have begotten you. Now, I was thinking about the deity of God, Jesus. He never lost his deity when he came as man. He gave up some stuff while he was here, but he was still God. God never changes his character and who he is. But he says this, today I've begotten you. So God the Father has begotten you. He seems like this is the plan being fulfilled. And there's a lot of questions, I think, that's begotten you. Probably theologians probably argue over this point a lot somewhere, what that actually means. But I'm not a theologian, so I'll just say that God has made, he has correspond, or he's told Jesus, you are the begotten one. Then he goes, ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. Okay? Might need a little help on this one, because I'm working through this too. First I'm going to go, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. This is quoted by Paul in Acts 13:33 too, of the risen Son. And so I'm going to ask somebody if they'll look that up, Acts 13:33. Mark, can you grab that one? I just want us to look at this, because this is repeated in that particular verse. Well, it's repeated there in Acts. And it says, ask of me, the nations are the possession of the risen, exalted Son, as they are given to him. He has earned the right to reign over them. So God has, and Jesus has earned the right to reign over these kingdoms. So it seems to be, ask of me, I will give service to you, the nations, as you your inheritance. So Jesus, this is his inheritance, and they very, and the very end of the earth as your possession. So there's a definite eternal thing going to happen here. Jesus is going to be in control of everything that's going on. We've got all this going on in our world, all this stuff in vain, and Lord laughs at him, he scoffs at him, and he gets angry and he presents Jesus as Lord over all of this. And then he says, as Lord, you are Lord of all the nations. And so, we go on from there. Yeah. Hey, absolutely. Go. I think your brother's holding that story, and he expounded on that too, to the end of where he changed how he did his medicine, even to a certain degree. Because we're all going to have that chair one day, that feeling. And so I appreciate that. And please chime in on this too, because this is my first time going through this. And understand, I'm processing it too. And, so, as we look at this chair, and I think, and you know, I'm going back to that a second too, because I don't think we feel pretty comfortable where we're at today in the world. I mean, in our America and our little cultures, I don't think we haven't even been mixed into that kind of chair that's happening in other places in the world. We're pretty protected yet. But I think that may not be for the next generation or the next generation after that. I think they're going to be involved with a lot more. And that's why I think this is a good passage to consider when I talk to young people. Just be aware that there is more hope behind this. And if it wasn't for that hope, it would just be terrific. I mean, it would just be in such a depression all the time. But this gives us hope. And so we go on from here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we see that in Europe, we see that in different countries as they move farther and farther away, we see more terror. Well, you think of Europe right now and ISIS, where are they putting their... we talk about ISIS because that's current, but there's been terrorism all through the ages, but it just happens to be there now in the European nations, and where it's God been pushed out in the European nations. So that could be true. And we can observe those things. Not know, but we can observe. But, you know, we're looking at it. I'm doing a study with the kids at the Calvary Christian School, and there's 4 points of we're looking at a biblical response to current events. And on my paper, the first visual I have for them is an ostrich and a human being, both with their heads in the sand. And I said, the first thing you got to do is get your head out of the sand and look around, make observations, see what's going on, know what's going on in the world. And I know you have this nice cozy school to be at, but let's look around a little bit. And that's the first part. The second part was that is to make observations. The second bird I showed him was an eagle, and the eagle observes what's going on in the world. You look at it, see who's involved, why is it happening, who, you know, when is it happening, all those things, the who, what, why, and where, and when, and all those things. And then the third set of birds are a couple cancuns. I think they're the birds that talk to each other. And two cans, can of twos or whatever. But they're talking and it's discussion, having conversation about it. And as we do that, we need to understand. They had some conversation about it. And then the last set of birds were geese. And they're in a file and they're heading towards something. And that something they're heading towards is a biblical response for direction for what we're to do. And this is where this is heading, is a biblical direction, I think, as we go through. Verse 7, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son today. I have begotten you. Then he goes, ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. Then he goes on to 9. And I think this is the fulfilled at the second coming. You shall break them with a rod and iron. You shall shatter them like an earthquake. Sounds like, oh, this is escalating even more. And so there's Jesus, huh? Yeah. What's it? No, go ahead. So, confirming that from the book of Revelations. Then we go down, because there's a response to that even. It says, now therefore, even, O kings, show discernment, take warning, O judges of the earth, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice and trembling. Looking at my notes here, what I wrote on that, I wrote, kings and judges address again, this time in an appeal of mercy, the fury of God, though real, does not cancel out the mercy of God towards the very sinners who incite his fury and deserve his wrath. There's some mercy involved here. And it says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. And that seems to be towards believers, but it seems also to be at that point where there's going to be some trembling. I know when my dog does something wrong, and I go in there and say, you've done something wrong, and he's sitting there, he knows I'm mad at him, you know. And he'll go around and hide behind a chair because he knows I have some fury against him, and he trembles. I kind of think it's going to be that kind of trembling that we have as we go through this. Staying where I want it. And so he has there, therefore, worship the Lord in reverence and rejoice with trembling. I don't know how you can rejoice with trembling. I think our trembling there is got to do with the fear of the Lord. We're seeing something that we don't have never seen before, and I'm rejoicing, but this is beyond what I can understand, and I tremble just because I don't understand it. And I think that might be what we're looking at here. Then he goes, the next verse says, do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who taking refuge in him. I believe that is the refuge is our salvation. That's our refuge in this particular case, it seems to be. And as we flesh that out a little bit more, that's his wrath may soon be kindled. We don't know when that kindling is going to happen. He doesn't let us know. How blessed are those who take refuge in him and have accepted Christ and are following him, because that time will happen. So I don't know. Any comments on those few verses? No.
Don't like the old temple because they're trying to buy all their own food and other individual, you know, all of history that has been able to deal with a major problem of sin and provide a solution for what faith and beauty. And so, contrast that, God's family, and those are only people who don't like that alternative. They want to go their own way and not fly in the fear and the frustration and all the difficulties.
It's an amazing promise that we have that through all of what's going on in that time, but also in this time too, as we move towards the end times. There's another word, I don't know, on verse 12, mine says do homage. Anybody else have some other word right there? That's the word I was looking for, because I think that's actually a more appropriate response, just not doing homage, but an actual kiss to the Son. It seems more personal, and to kiss to the Son that he not become angry. So it's please don't come angry. You know, I remember cases little. If I was mad, she'd come up there and hug me and, you know, I'm sorry, kind of thing. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at there, God's wrath. I do have a couple little notes here I made in a conclusion. Yeah. Oh, it is. It is, yeah. And that's kind of why I even went to this scripture today as opposed to where I was looking earlier. I thought this really is where was for Samuel that and David that. So I think it's pertinent today. I'm working through it. I appreciate that I'm able to get here and not be prepared and have conversation in a Bible study. The Bibleologist in this room, as I call him, and we're all studying this stuff together and trying to figure it out. And I came up with a couple conclusions on this as I was looking at it my first time through. One of them is, what is my attitude towards God and His ways? So if God is doing what He's doing in the world today, what's my attitude? How am I responding to that? I see things going on. We deal with the cross being torn off the hill because some guy doesn't want it there for whatever motive, we don't know. It's funny for me, as I do campus ministry in the public schools, I have the ACLU following me around, checking on me, asking questions. I had a teacher last week. All her emails were taken and looked at to see what the correspondence were between me and a teacher that was our faculty advisors. That's all in vain. It doesn't matter. And that's what comes to my mind. That really doesn't matter. And I do what I do. So, another thought I had is, knowing the future, reign of Christ overall, do not despair, but take heart and have hope, like you were just saying there. We have a hope, and no matter what goes on, it does. That other stuff doesn't matter. It's in vain, and that's how I look at it. And my other note I made to myself is, today is the day of salvation. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him. And I think that's what's significant for us today. And with that, that's why we disciple and tell people about Jesus and read the scriptures and try to muddle through it the best we can. Jerry says to work through it, or, you know, as we're going through it, we'll struggle through it, whatever, but try to get some meaning and understanding what's going on. And it seems today that as I look at what David's doing, we can be sure that God is on the throne. He's in charge. He definitely has emotions too about what's going on. And His plan is going to happen. And our best refuge is in Him as believers. So that's my conclusion to this whole lesson. Yeah. At the Bema Seat of Christ, we're all going to stand, and everybody, even Satan, will be down there, and it will be there. Actually, I thought about this too. Every knee will be bowed. Barack Obama, George Bush, every ISIS person, their knees are going to be bowed before the Lord, and they're going to answer, and they're going to have their time. And there will be a lot of trembling going on, I would think. So.